You're listening to Radio Hangar Aviation Talk, powered by AI, fueled by passion. Hey there, welcome back to Traffic Pattern. I'm Pattern, and today we're going to dig into something that could genuinely save your life. Not being dramatic, I mean it. We're talking about weather minimums, the legal ones, sure, but more importantly, the personal ones. The ones you build for yourself. Because here's something I wish someone told me when I was training. Legal and safe are not the same thing. Let me set the scene. You've got a cross-country planned. You've been looking forward to it all week. The weather looks, let's call it, flyable. Ceilings are sitting around 2,000 feet. Visibility is right at 3 statute miles, maybe some scattered rain showers off to the west. And you pull up the regulations and you think, well, I'm VFR legal. 3 miles visibility, 500 below, 1,000 above, 2,000 horizontal from clouds. I'm good to go, and technically you are. For uncontrolled airspace below 10,000 feet, that meets the numbers in 14 CFR 91.155. But let me ask you this, are you good to go? You, specifically, with your experience level in that airplane on that route on that day. That's where personal minimums come in. Shout out to our friends at AviationSoul.com. They make challenge coins for every step of the journey. Got your first solo? There's a coin for that. Private pilot? Instrument? Commercial? They've got you covered. Great way to mark the milestones that matter. AviationSoul.com. All right, let's walk through this together. First, let's understand what the Federal Aviation Administration, or FAA, actually gives us as legal minimums and why they're just a starting point. For VFR flight in class golf airspace during the daytime below 10,000 feet, you need 1 statute mile visibility and clear of clouds. That's it, 1 mile. Now in class echo airspace, the same altitude, you need 3 statute miles visibility and those cloud clearance requirements I just mentioned. 500 below, 1,000 above, 2,000 horizontal. In class Bravo airspace, you need 3 statute miles and clear of clouds. Class Charlie and Delta, 3 miles and the same 500, 1,000, 2,000. Now think about that 1 mile visibility number in class golf. That means you can legally fly when you can only see about 5,300 feet in front of you. At a cruise speed of, say, 110 knots, you're covering roughly 185 feet per second. You've got less than 30 seconds of visible terrain ahead of you at all times. Does that sound like a comfortable margin to you? Because it shouldn't, especially not if you're a student pilot or a freshly minted private pilot on a cross country. So here's the idea behind personal minimums. You create your own set of limits that account for your actual skill level, your experience, the airplane you're flying, and the environment you're flying in. And as you gain experience, those minimums can gradually relax, but they should never go below a floor that you're comfortable with. Let me give you a framework. Think of it as 4 categories: ceiling, visibility, wind, and crosswind. Start with ceiling, if you're a newer private pilot. I'd suggest your personal minimum for VFR cross-country be no lower than 3,000 feet above ground level. Why? Because at 3,000 AGL, you've got room to maneuver, room to divert, room for terrain clearance if you're flying in hilly areas, room for error, and honestly, room to breathe. Flying at 2,000-foot ceilings as a newer pilot means you're compressed between the ground and the clouds, your options are limited, and the stress level goes way up. That's not where learning happens. As you build hours and confidence, maybe that comes down to 2,500, then 2,000. But each step down should feel earned, not forced. Now, visibility. Legal minimum in most airspace is 3 miles. I'd suggest starting at 5 statute miles as your personal minimum. Here's why. At 5 miles, you can see landmarks. You can identify airports from a reasonable distance. You can spot traffic. You have time to make decisions at 3 miles, especially if there's haze. Everything looks the same. Landmarks blend together. That airport you're looking for becomes invisible until you're almost on top of it. And if you're navigating by pilotage on a cross country, that matters a lot. Wind is the next one. And this is where a lot of newer pilots don't set limits, but they should. Pick a maximum sustained wind speed you're comfortable with. Maybe that's 15 knots when you're new. Maybe 20 as you get more comfortable. But have a number. Because here's what happens without one. You check the weather, you see winds at 22 gusting 30, and you think, well, it's not that bad. And then you're on short final getting bounced around, wishing you'd stayed on the ground. And crosswind. This is a big one. Your airplane has a demonstrated crosswind component in the pilot's operating handbook. Let's say it's 15 knots for a Cessna 172. That's demonstrated, not maximum. It means the test pilot handled it. It doesn't mean you can. If you've only practiced crosswind landings in 8 to 10 knot crosswinds, set your personal limit there. 10 knots, maybe 12, and work your way up with an instructor beside you. Here's something I wish someone told me when I was training. There is no shame in having conservative minimums. None. The pilots who scare me are the ones with 200 hours who think they can handle anything. The ones who impress me are the ones who look at the weather and say, you know what? That's beyond what I'm comfortable with today. I'll go tomorrow. Now, let's talk about how this plays into cross-country planning specifically. Because a cross-country isn't just about the weather at your departure airport. When you're planning across country, you need to evaluate weather at your departure point, along your route of flight, and at your destination. And I'd add at your alternate, even though VFR flights don't legally require an alternate. You should always have one in mind. Pull your weather briefing, look at the METARs along the route, look at the terminal aerodrome forecasts, or TAFs, if they're available. Check the area forecast, look at the prog charts, and here's the key. Apply your personal minimums to all of it, not just your departure airport. I've seen students plan a beautiful cross-country weather. At home is gorgeous. Clear skies, 10 miles visibility, they take off feeling great, and 40 miles down the route, the visibility drops to 4 miles in haze and the ceiling comes down to 2,500 feet. Now they're in a situation they didn't plan for because they only checked the weather at home. The Airman Certification Standards for the Private Pilot Check Ride specifically address this under cross-country flight planning. The examiner is looking for you to demonstrate the ability to evaluate weather information and make a competent go or no-go decision. That means showing that you understand what the weather is doing, where it's going, and whether it's within your personal capability, not just the legal requirements. Let me give you a practical scenario. You're planning a cross-country from your home airport to a field about 120 nautical miles away. The weather briefing shows the following. At your departure, clear skies, visibility 10 miles. Winds from the south at 8 knots along the route at about the halfway point. The METAR shows broken clouds at 3,000 feet. Visibility 5 miles in haze. At your destination, overcast at 2,500 feet. Visibility 4 miles, light rain. Legally, this is all VFR. You can make this flight. But if your personal minimums are 3,000-foot ceilings and 5 miles visibility, your destination doesn't qualify. And that midpoint is right on the edge, so what do you do? You have options. You can wait and see if conditions improve. You can plan a shorter flight that keeps you in the better weather. You can plan the flight but set a hard turnaround point. If conditions deteriorate past a certain point along the route, you turn around. No debate, no pushing it. That turnaround point is critical. Decide it on the ground before you leave. Pick a landmark or a fix along your route and tell yourself, if the weather isn't meeting my minimums by the time I reach that point, I'm coming home. Because the hardest decision to make is the one you make in the air when you've already invested time and fuel and emotion into getting where you're going. If you make the decision on the ground, it's already done. And let me say this about get-there-itis, because it's directly related to personal minimums. Get-there-itis is the number one killer of personal minimums. You've got somewhere to be. Someone's expecting you. You paid for the rental. You don't want to look like you chickened out. And those pressures, every one of them will whisper in your ear that the weather is good enough. Build your personal minimums when you're sitting at your kitchen table with a cup of coffee and no pressure. Write them down, put them on a card in your flight bag. And when you're standing on the ramp looking at a gray sky, pull that card out and let it make the decision for you. You already made the decision. You made it when you were calm and rational. Trust that version of yourself. One more thing. Personal minimums should be a living document. Review them every few months as you gain experience. As you fly in new conditions with an instructor, you can adjust them. Flew a solid crosswind landing in a 12-knot crosswind with your CFI and felt confident. Maybe bump your limit from 10 to 12. Completed some hood work and feel more comfortable with your instrument scan? Maybe your ceiling minimum comes down a notch. But make those changes deliberately, not in the moment. And here's the flip side. If you have a flight that rattles you, if you get caught in weather that was worse than forecast, or you have a landing that scares you, it is perfectly okay to tighten your minimums back up. That's not going backward, that's being honest with yourself, and that honesty is what keeps pilots alive. Let me leave you with a quick template you can start with. If you've never set personal minimums before, ceilings, 3,000 feet AGL, visibility, 5 statute miles, winds, 15 knots sustained, crosswind component, 8 knots. No flight into areas of forecast convective activity, no night cross-country until you've got at least 50 hours of total time and some solid night duel. Those are conservative, and that's the point. Start conservative. Earn your way to less conservative. But always have a floor. This stuff isn't just for the check ride. The examiner will love hearing that you have personal minimums because it shows maturity and aeronautical decision-making. But more than that, this is for the rest of your flying life. The FAA gives us legal limits. We give ourselves safe limits, and there's a big gap between the two. All right, that's the show for today. If you want to dig deeper into this, the FAA puts out a great document. Check out Advisory Circular 60-22. It's all about aeronautical decision-making. And there's a whole section on personal minimums. Also, the Air Safety Institute over at the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association, or AOPA, has some excellent resources on this. And the Airman Certification Standards themselves are worth reading through for the decision-making sections. All of this stuff is free. This has been Traffic Pattern on Radio Hangar. Everything you heard today was AI-generated, built by people who fly and care about getting this right. We always credit our sources, and we're always transparent about what we are. Hit up radiohanger.com if you want to learn more or dig into past episodes. Fly smart out there. Set your limits before you set your mixture. And I'll see you next time. Radio Hanger. Keep the blue side up.